With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis 7 News Talk, 97.1 DGS. Few minutes past 3 p.m. Happy Tuesday. Tony, we miss anything?
In the actual world? 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund just was approved.
Good.
Like minutes ago. So, you know, there was that little thing with Rand Paul last week. He kind of delayed things. But vote went through today. 97-2. The two were Rand Paul and Mike Lee.
Wow.
In the Senate that voted against it. But overwhelming approval. And this one lasts forever. So these first responders in New York and at the Pentagon and Pennsylvania don't have to go through this again. Every time when this was initially passed years ago and then renewed, it always had an expiration date. This one does, but it's like 2090 or something like that. It will outlive all of the first responders, so they're covered for life and don't have to go through this again. So that's good.
So we all complain about politics all the time. Do Rand Paul and Mike Lee deserve pats on the back because they went against what's politically correct and they did what was right and they're fighting against, or are they just dumb?
Neither. They don't deserve a pat on the back and they're not dumb. They are consistent. They're sticking to their guns. And I don't agree with them. I don't think very many people do, but they're just being consistent. And
do they vote against that? I disagree, unless they vote against everything.
When it comes to spending, they vote against everything.
Every single thing.
As far as I know, they vote against everything unless the bill details on where the money's coming from. And they agree with that payment structure. Rand Paul for sure votes against everything that increases the debt.
That's his thing. They do deserve a pat on the back for being so consistent.
He's been against the wall for that reason, because of the pay. He's for the wall, but he's like, can't just get money out of thin air.
Yeah,
how are we going to pay for it? I disagree with that because while I like the consistency and I like principles, I also understand the things that you should look at everything in a case by case basis, and there are, I think, sometimes reasons to make exceptions, and I would have included the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund as an exception, but he doesn't. So
we talked about this yesterday, and this is really not that much different. I heard Larry Kudlow, who's the president's economic advisor, give about as good a layman's explanation this morning as I've heard about the deficit. And he was saying that we run about 4.5% versus our GDP, and that under past administrations, it's been 10% or 12%. And so we're doing really well. And this is one of those, sometimes you say, like, oh, I guess I'm just too dumb to understand it, and you're just being self-deprecating. But maybe this is just one of those that when we complain that, hey, I have to run my household on a budget, and if I spend more than I bring in, or if I don't pay my bills, bad things happen. Why isn't it that way for the American government? Maybe we really don't understand. Maybe it's just that macroeconomics and microeconomics are completely different. And I remember at our old company, remember when at the old company, it came down a few years ago that, hey, we want you to make money like on events, but you can't spend any money.
Yeah.
And we would say, well, wait a minute, we have to, you know, book a venue and we have to hire a band and we have to get T-shirts. But we think we're going to make $50,000. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
You're not hearing us. You cannot.
Yeah.
I think Point Fest was the one thing they made an exception for, but other than that, it was you can't invest a dollar.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it sounded like Kudlow was saying today, is this is investment. Having all this debt is what has allowed us to have this amazing economy and everyone has a job and it's worth it. Trust us, this is the way to go. I mean, you would think if it were really as simple as what it seems like to me, that no one would agree with it.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's like if it's really as simple as it seems to me, which is, okay, you bring in $1 trillion, you'd spend $1 trillion, but you don't spend $1 trillion in $1.
That sounds to me like somebody explaining to their spouse why it's okay to continue to delve deeper and deeper into credit card debt because, look, without keeping opening up all these credit cards and maxing them all out, we can't pay for the car and we can't buy all this cool stuff that we have. And trust me, it's better to be in debt because we've got all this great stuff. Isn't that what that sounds like to you?
Kind of. And I'm not at all, because I've been always been very hawkish on the budget, but it was more like we need investment to make the economy grow. And at 4.5% of the GDP, we're okay. But again, in general, I think that we are like a family that spends frivolously. If there's stuff we need, there's stuff we need. And the left would say, well, we don't need all these tanks. We don't need all these missiles. We need to feed people. And people on the right would say, yeah. And the people who need fed need to go to work and they need to get a job. And then we need to stop taking care of them. And this is never going to stop.
Right.
Yeah. When do you start filling in the hole? It's okay. We're investing more in the economy now, but we've been doing that for a long time.
And I get the, investment in things like job program. You know, you can probably point to things that I would understand why we need to spend money in these areas to stimulate the economy and to have, but you can't tell me that there's not frivolous government spending that could be cut or reined in. Like, as long as he's not making that as a blanket statement on it's okay to keep spending on everything that we're spending on and just keep adding new programs all the time. If he's saying that as a blanket statement, then those guys
seem concerned. You know what I mean? Like, people will say it as a talking point, but they keep voting for it.
Oh, yeah.
Both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides go nuts when you say you're not going to raise the debt limit. So they know something we don't. And they're held to a different standard than we are. And maybe it's because us peons don't understand the way you run a country.
Well,
we don't understand macroeconomics.
There's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah. There's nothing else in the world
that is on the level of that, of the United States country's debt. There's also not a bill collector or a service provider that can cut off services in order to force your hand to pay it. So they are playing an entirely different game than the rest of us.
It also does cause these rifts, because let's take a family makes $100,000 and they're spending $150,000, then mom's going to be mad at dad and dad's going to be mad at mom because everyone's going to say, we don't need to belong to the country club. Right. Well, you don't need to buy Coach purses. Yeah. Well, you don't need this and you don't need that.
Right.
And that's what happens with us as a country, because we all know we're in debt. And then people say things like, get off your ass and go get a job. Why are we paying welfare? Why do we have so many people on all these entitlements? Why is it so easy to get on disability? And then, like I said, the other side's like, why do we need so many missiles we don't use?
Yep.
I don't think we would have nearly these arguments if we weren't overextended.
Agreed.
We've never experienced consequences for our debt.
Yeah.
Just like anything else, if you don't ever experience consequences, why wouldn't you just keep doing it until the ride's over?
Well, but it's like what Tony said, like, who's going to enforce those consequences even?
Right. Yeah, that's why it just keeps ballooning.
Yeah. It's not a real thing.
Do we know too much?
No. No.
I
understand what you're saying, and I understand the argument, but I don't think so.
I mean, 20, 30 years ago, we knew so much less.
But nothing changes except us being able to worry about it and have these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Knowledge is power. I'm never all for like, I don't want them to even tell us about it. We deserve to know.
I'm with you.
No matter how much anxiety it gives you, you should
know. The only thing
that's
not
what I said.
The only thing we shouldn't know.
Okay,
no,
I wasn't fighting with you.
Yeah, no, you were asking which is better. Do we know too much?
We deserve to know everything that's going on with our government. But I'm sitting here looking at Drudge, Huffington Post, MSNBC, Breitbart. That's different.
Yes, agreed.
I'm just wondering if we are wasting our lives
worrying about it
with all of this.
Yeah, and being consumed with it when there's nothing we can do about it. Literally, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, you can cast a vote. Not much else you can do.
Yeah, but there's nobody to vote for that's going to stop it.
Yeah, that's true. Other than Rand Paul. We're not in Kentucky.
Yeah, and I mean, and I really wonder if there were 49 or 50 other people that would vote with him on all these things that he votes on, if he wouldn't start looking at things case by case and changing his mind.
Mm.
It's easy
because
to say.
Because it's easy to just
when
be
you
that
know
guy.
You're going
to
lose 97-2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, well, I'm just being consistent.
But if he were really the swing vote on something,
yeah.
Would
now
he actually
what would
do
happen?
It?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what always happens. Because these people go into office. There's so many of them, conservative, fiscally conservative Republicans that go into office and say they've got to stop spending. They've got to stop spending. But they all make exceptions, which I just said you have to make exceptions. There are times when you should make exceptions. But they start making exceptions and they make more and more and they realize that this is what people want, that it's easier to give people money and fund these things that
again,
people use.
We're doing the same thing we always do, but it's because it's true. The whole system is just broken. Because
and it just goes in circles.
Somehow we got away from states' rights. And because if so few people have actually read the documents, and I wouldn't have if I hadn't gone to law school, but they made me. And tested me on it. And basically, it says the states have all the rights.
Yep.
Unless they're enumerated as federal rights. I mean, that's like saying, here's the deal. Ryan's going to run everything. If there's any questions in the DGS, Ryan makes all the decisions, unless I say it's Tony or Rachel. That puts a lot of... And you'd say, like, well, who's the boss? Well, Ryan. Because he gets to do everything. Unless Dave specifically assigns something.
Yeah.
That's what it did to the states.
Yep.
And you look around now and the states are just bitches.
Yep.
It's just like whatever the federal government wants, we're going to take this away from you. We're going to take away that funding. We're going to control this. We're going to control that. It is completely out of control. And politicians going all the way back have always been elected based on giving people things. Whether it's I'm going to give you estates in England, or I'm going to give you my daughter to marry into my family, or it's, oh yeah, I'll build that bridge, or I'll make sure that you get that minority contract. But now it's just like on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah, the federal government was supposed to be tiny. It's supposed to be tiny. It's supposed to provide borders and a national defense.
One, for this reason.
Yeah.
Because we were leaving a place where we feared the government.
And they recognized that people living in New Hampshire would have different needs and values than people living in Louisiana. And so they want the people in New Hampshire to be able to make their own rules and statutes on how to live and the people in Louisiana. But that's, we have gotten so far away from that.
I'm not one of those people who think that if we could reanimate the founding fathers, we let them take over because it's been hundreds of years. But I do believe if you could, they would say, no, not even close. This is not even close.
Oh, they would look at the size of the federal government and say, this was not.
This is beyond ridiculous.
What our intent was. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
327 DGS. What do we have coming up today? Thomas Helbig's coming up in a little bit.
Got Halfwits. We got Tim Jones coming
playing
up at 4:40. Yeah.
Is anyone playing with us?
We.
Just us?
So like me, you, Tony.
There's no special guest is what she's asking.
No, the answer's no.
Many times there has been in the past there's been a special guest.
Thank you, Tony.
It's a legitimate question.
Yes, it was.
So I think a lot of quote unquote racial things that happen, on many of them, I've rolled my eyes. On many of them, I've said, oh, come on, this is not race-based. Or, hey, when you pull out a knife or a gun, it doesn't matter what color you are, you're probably going to get shot. So I can't find much in this one to defend. The Angry Orchard Company has like a winery. And so these 8 African-Americans went there, unbeknownst to the woman, for the man to propose. And so they went in and they did their stuff and they went out to a little table, out a little scenic table. And as the guy was about to propose, a female security guard comes out and says, hey, I need you to stop what you're doing. It's been reported to us that you stole a t-shirt, an Angry Orchard t-shirt, and put it in your back pocket. I need to check your pockets. The guy's like, didn't take anything. It's kind of an important time right now. And she's like, yeah, I need to see your pockets. So nothing in his pockets. So then she walks away. He goes back to, look, we've been together a long time. You mean the world to me. Walks back out. I was just told that you handed the t-shirt to this woman. I need to see your bag. And she has like a little clutch. And she's like, look, you couldn't fit a t-shirt in this, but fine. And she empties the entire thing out. Nothing. So walks away. He starts in again, literally proposing. And at that point, their friends walk up because they know the deal.
Yeah.
Now, more security guards walk out and say, hold, stop what you're doing. I swear to God, this is true. Stop what you're doing. We need to check all of your bags and all of your pockets because there's a t-shirt missing. And so they do. And they go through all their stuff and just humiliate them the whole bit. And when the people start complaining, they get really aggressive and we're going to call the cops and we don't like your attitude. And, you know, the lady was a doctor and no one stole a t-shirt.
You could be a little more polite while I'm accusing you of being a thief. So.
Of a t-shirt.
Of a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall, just seems like kind of a jerk move, regardless of race.
Sounds like harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one they were the only black people there, so that doesn't help. But regardless of their race, yeah.
Must have been a really nice t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it was worth $28, so...
Man, for $25, you can get one from the DGS and a Cardinals game.
I just wonder, even if someone, and it's never right to shoplift, but even if you were like, man, I'm pretty sure someone in that group took a t-shirt, aren't you going to lose more money by alienating 8 people, by giving 8 people the shakedown? Like, I think it was you. Never mind, it was you. Now you get to do it. Yeah.
You've already checked at least 2 people
right.
for the t-shirt. Nobody's got it. Let's just let it go.
That's why it seems like it's definitely a racial thing to me, because it's like, hey, the thing that all 8 of you have in common is you're all black and you're the only people we're going to check. So it's almost like, hey, I saw a black person steal a t-shirt. All right, we better check every black person that's been in here today.
I also don't think that you have to give up your rights to your inventory and let people steal willy-nilly. But in this day and age of social media, you better be pretty damn sure that someone stole your t-shirt before you start a big kerfuffle that could go viral like this.
Yeah.
It happens in New York, and now some guy's talking about it in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Do you think someone kept saying, no, it was them, it was them, or the
evidently,
security guard?
Yeah, and they said, do you have a security camera? And they said, yes. And they said, let's go watch it together.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we can't do that. We can't stop it. Because of insurance, we have to just keep it going. And so, sorry, we can't watch it.
Well, that makes no sense.
I'm kind of interested in just the whole t-shirt caper now.
They said that other patrons and a security guard saw her fiance, now fiance, steal a shirt. Although, as you said, they didn't have it. So they didn't steal it if they didn't have it.
If they did, they did a really good job
of just making it disappear.
He ate the t-shirt. Now we figured it out.
That's not
going to
do him any good.
Man, I want to see this t-shirt now.
Can't wear that shirt. That's a $28 t-shirt. Sounds like the Angry Orchard is also trying to extort money from their patrons.
I always find it interesting in situations like this, too, because, I mean, hearing it, it does sound like a racial thing. I mean, if there's only 8 black people at the orchard, they're all together, and everyone gets searched, yeah, it kind of seems like you've got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. But then calling for boycott of Angry Orchard in general, I doubt at their corporate meetings, they're like, and if you ever see anyone who isn't white come in here, you better give them a hard time. I mean, I doubt it's the corporation's policy to behave like this.
That's what's tough about any company. You could have just one rogue employee say something that goes completely against what you stand for as a person or as a company.
Yeah.
And you're toast.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Starbucks thing with
make sure you hire good. I mean, do everything you can to hire the right people.
You're right, but
you still can't stop it.
But that's
Ryan's
also
right
wrong.
That.
Now I'm going to get this wrong, but at some point, Cracker Barrel, I think, even fessed up to having some sort of race-based deals years ago.
Wow.
But other than at the corporate level, I don't think any company should be blamed for one employee or one manager. I don't think that when cops are asked to leave a Starbucks, that everyone should boycott Starbucks. I don't think that means that Starbucks hates cops. I think that whoever these people are should be fired from their jobs because they're obviously very bad at them.
Yes.
That they're so dumb that they would throw out a black person or a cop, either one, and then you stop. I don't think there's any reason to shut the company down and have racial training or be nice to cops training. That's why this generation is so different from mine, is that we really didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you did something dumb at work, you got in trouble or you got fired and that was it.
Yep.
Yeah. And if they found out other people were involved, maybe they got fired too. Right. But it wasn't like, oh my God, Mr. Donut, blah, blah, blah.
You solved the problem. You took care of the bad actor.
There wasn't the internet, so this news didn't spread like wildfire, and we wouldn't have even known had the Angry Orchard thing happened back in, 1985.
It's also, this is the only account of the story, because I'm reading the story too, that's out there. They could be exaggerating the story. If this security guard came over 3 different times and stopped a proposal, not only are they a bad security guard, there's something wrong with you as a person.
Yeah, right.
If you're so hung up on whatever you're hung up on that you're in the face of proof that whatever you're looking for is not there, that you have to continue to go over and harass somebody, like, it's almost hard to believe that any security guard would behave like that. And if they did, they should be. They're not only a bad security guard, like I said, there's something wrong with them in their head. But I wonder if it was truly that ridiculous as the account lays out there. Because you never know, because it's only been put out there one way.
Right.
But, yeah. If it is that,
they have
that security guard needs to be fired.
Angry Orchard has acknowledged and apologized.
Yeah, they did. They said that they handled the situation.
Yeah.
But they didn't give a blow-by-blow either. They just said, we handled the situation poorly, and we need to make our guests feel welcome. A very typical, corporate-sounding apology.
It's an interesting story. We've had these issues about, hold on a second.
You're going to sneeze.
I did too.
No, sorry. Had these issues about school lunches. And remember the school I told you about last week where there's $22,000 owed by different parents?
Yeah.
And they said that if it continues, we're going to report you to DFS for child neglect. A person stepped in, wealthy person stepped in and said, I would like to pay the whole debt. And the principal or superintendent, whoever, he said, no.
Hmm.
You can't do it. These people owe the money. They need to pay it. And he said, I get it, but I'm concerned about kids having food and these people, being reported. And he said, nope, we don't want a penny of your money. They have to pay it.
They also weren't going to let the kids starve, right? I mean, there's usually a backup plan where you get a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Maggie got one last year because she ran out of money And we didn't put money in the thing. And she was like, I didn't have a ham sandwich for lunch today because, I mean, we didn't go to the school and say, oh my God, you isolated my child and only gave her a ham sandwich. We said, no.
Right.
We didn't know what, that you
once
were,
again,
that you'd
I,
run out of money and I know we it, thought there was money in the account.
I know it makes me seem a million years old, but this was never an issue when I was a kid. You could bring your lunch. You could pay for your lunch that day in cash, or there were five or six kids, like we talked about, that were on a special program where they worked in the cafeteria and they got free lunches, which now I guess would probably be considered shaming.
Yeah, but I'm sure it would be considered shaming.
But that was it. We just had lunch.
How did you guys treat the kids, the five kids? Any different?
No.
Well, there you go.
I mean, we all kind of knew it, so there was no like, ha, you're poor and you have to scrape trays. There was like, oh my God, I'm glad that's not me, because the one day I had to do it when someone didn't show up, I was really humiliated.
Right.
So everyone knew, you know, they knew what it was. But I get that we have technology now and you can have an account and fill up the account. Phoebe had the same thing at ICD. She'll probably have the same thing. But I don't know. I don't remember a kid ever once showing up without money for lunch.
Because there were consequences to not having money for lunch. I wonder the principal who refused it. I mean, they obviously know which families aren't paying because they're on record and they need to pay. I'm sure there's a certain percentage where they are actually worried about the children getting food at home. But I think a big percentage is probably people who are clearly well-to-do who just aren't paying because they're not getting in trouble. Mm-hmm.
There are families that truly can't pay the lunch bill. But I believe that there is a bigger percentage of people that just choose not to pay it because they know they don't have to.
I have a story that I'll talk about in headlines about cutting the incentives for SNAP and food stamps. I mean, they want to put together this new system where you're checked more frequently. And of course, Democrats are like, what? You're going to take away food stamps from people? Yeah. Well, yeah, if they don't need it, then they don't need to be using it.
That's exactly the opposite of the way things were done under Barack Obama. We had those people on the air. Yes. We talked to the people that worked for the government that literally convinced people to go on food stamps rather than try to, you know, make sure that they qualified for them. They stretched it so the people would qualify for them.
We'll talk about that more at 4:08 during headlines. Coming up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Thomas Helbig is here from Retirement Key. So we have another educational seminar coming up on August 6th at the Plaza Frontenac, 6:30 p.m. If you want to just cut out the middleman, just call right now, 855-755-1555. Last time was my first time. And it was the night that we, like, literally, it was like the world was ending with the weather. That was one of the worst storms we've ever had. And you still had 100% of the people there come in and take advantage of your plan.
Yes, they did.
That's great.
Absolutely. Because all the people that are coming in, they're all within 5 years of retiring or they're already retired. And they're all worried about what's going to happen to my retirement account. What are my options? What if the market crashes at some point, which it will? How can I protect that? And that's what we teach everybody.
And I know that I don't know anything about investments in the financial world, but I know that the higher the stock market goes, on one hand, yay, but on the other, it's like, well, how much higher can it go before there's a correction?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the higher it goes, at some point, it's going to fall. And when it falls, it'll fall big. I mean, this has been a 10-year bull run. So it's due. You know, not that we want it, but what goes up does come down at some point.
Yeah.
And when you're nearing retirement, you can't afford that because you will never have time to recover. Even though all the brokers say out there, well, the market comes back. That's true. But if you're nearing retirement, you don't have that time, and you'll never recover when you're retired.
Yeah, and that's the difference between, you know, Wiggins comes in, he's 37 years old, and says, I want your plan, and you say, you got 20, 30 more years to...
He's got time on his side.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You could go through a couple corrections.
That's exactly it. He doesn't need his money within 5 years or so. But if you're, you know, 58, 55, or 60, you can't afford that. It just takes too long to recover. And what people don't realize, remember, when you're working, you're feeding money into that plan. Once you retire... Not only are you not feeding money into it, you're taking money out. And then as the correction's going down and they're still charging fees, it's a triple whammy. It's called reverse dollar cost averaging, and Wall Street never teaches people about that. And we teach that in the seminar.
Yeah.
We talk about that.
So are there actual laws that, okay, when you're 59 and a half, you can now do this. You can't do it at 48, but now you can do it.
Yes. That's the Pension Protection Act. At 59 and a half, you are allowed to roll over your 401k if you're vested. It's called an in-service rollover to an IRA. It's a tax-free event. You can roll it over into your own plan. The whole world of investments open up to you, which we teach the people the different strategies, and it rolls into an IRA. But now you own that account. It's not a company-sponsored plan. It's your own individual retirement account, and you could keep it protected, and you could still keep feeding money into that 401k while you're still working.
So that's,
and you need to take advantage of it. Most people don't know that until we educate them on that.
That's a big question I get from people when they ask me about it. They say, okay, Dave, you say that with Thomas Helbig, I can, I'm not going to lose any of my initial investment. Well, I can do the same thing if I put it in a savings account or if I bury it in my backyard in coffee cans. But the point is, you're still making money for people on their investment.
Absolutely. If you put it in a savings account, what's the savings account paying you on interest? 0.5%? In a money market, if that. Well, what we do is we teach people, we link to the stock indexes. So some of my clients, I mean, you can earn 5, 6, 7% rate of return on a year on safe money and no fees. Where are you going to get that kind of return? You can't. And your money's protected if the market tanks. You never lose a penny. And that's why my clients have never lost a penny in 32 years, and I'm proud of that.
So why, honest question, why doesn't everyone do it?
Because most people don't know about it. They don't know that it's available out there. And if they're working with a Wall Street broker is not allowed to offer them these products. They're not. They only teach them the tools they're in their tool bag. And that's keeping them in the market because that's how Wall Street makes their fees. There's other vehicles out there. So we are not obligated to Wall Street. I'm an independent advisor, so I don't have to answer to Wall Street. Mm-hmm. So we teach people how to go outside that and link to the stock indexes. Get the growth, but without the risk.
And so you turn 59 and a half, you do this. Typically, is this what you do for the rest of your retirement?
Yes, but while you're still working, you're still feeding money into that 401k because remember, your company's matching usually in 401k. So you want to still take advantage of that match. But then once you retire, you roll over the balance.
Gotcha.
And then you keep that money protected and you're growing it and generate income. And that's how people never run out of money because you don't have the fees and you don't have the market losses and the market crashes.
Yeah. So say you got $500,000 built up in your 401k. And you're 59 and a half, but you have no plans on retiring anytime soon. You roll it over to you. That $500,000 is safe.
Safe forever. And you'll never lose a penny.
You keep
feeding into
feeding
that 401k.
It away, and you work another 10 years, and you got another $300,000.
Roll that over at that point, gotcha. Unless you want to keep the risk of the market. But yes, you roll it over. At some point, you have to roll it to an IRA because it's 70 and a half. You have to start taking your required minimum distributions.
Gotcha.
So that's the safe way to do it.
So August 6th. Frontenac
Hilton.
That's
2 weeks from tonight. Plaza Frontenac at the Frontenac Hilton.
So other than me and Mark and Annie being there and, you know, shaking hands and playing some games with them, what's going to happen? What can they look forward to?
I talk for 45 minutes. That's it. And I go through with some of the history of Wall Street, teach them these strategies, and that's it. And then if they're interested in a personal one-on-one, we call it a financial review. They'll come in for an appointment. They'll also get a copy of my best-selling book, The Boomer's Guide to a Worry-Free Retirement. That teaches them everything.
And I guess it works whether you have $100,000 or $10 million.
Doesn't matter. Even if they're 50, if a client comes in with $50,000, we don't turn anybody away. Well, I love what I do, and I think it shows. Everybody says that. My clients don't lose their money. So everybody out there, if you want to attend, that's 2 weeks from tonight. Please call 855-755-5555. 1555. It's at the Frontenac Hilton. Once again, 855-755-1555.
Very good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on,
guys. All right.
Guys.
See you in 2 weeks.
Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.